Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second episode of The Masterson Inheritance, an improvised historical saga of a family at war with itself. Having already laid the foundations of the Masterson family's turbulent history, our team of performers will try to spontaneously create the story of the next generation, a story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story of pride, power, and passion in 18th century England, we have Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Right then. Now, for our story, we need to get some sort of ingredients, some ideas from our studio audience. And the first thing we want from them is a suggestion of a rural occupation or a rural job that might... What was that?
A miner.
A rural occupation. Okay. You can mine wherever you like. All right, so it's mining as a rural occupation. Now, the next thing is a character in the story tonight has a dream. They dream of something. They yearn for something. They have a longing for something. What is that thing that they yearn? Blancmange. Okay. Next thing is we need a suggestion of an object. Simple as that. Any object.
Tumble dryer.
A tumble dryer. Okay, the year is 1790. All right, tumble dryer, fine. Okay, that's what you want, tumble dryer, okay. Tumble dryer. And now what we need is a title for tonight's episode. Now, we want a title that includes the words Masterson, so the something of the Mastersons, perhaps, or the Mastersons something something. Any ideas? The Mastersons and Johnson. Is that of personal importance to you, sir? Just the Mastersons and Johnson. All right, then. The Mastersons and Johnson. It doesn't make sense to me either, but that's what the man said. We are at the mercy of our audience. This evening, we have mining, farming, blancmange, a tumble dryer in the Mastersons and Johnsons. The Masterson Inheritance, Book 2, The Mastersons and Johnsons. Seventeen 1792. Across the water in France, the terror is in full swing. The guillotine works night and day. In a more ordered land, in the countryside of England, the countryside of England, stands... a house, a large house, indeed a hall, Masterson Hall. Proud amongst the land, it dominates, as the family dominates the land. And on the edge of that land, just beyond its borders, is a small mine. Just a hole in the ground, really. But it is worked. It is worked hard, not by a man, but by a young girl. A young girl called Jane.
I'm knackered with all this digging.
She was tired indeed. She shouted to the top.
Hello? Oh,
she had agreed to meet her sweetheart.
Hello, are you up there?
Edward.
Hello?
Are you up there, darling?
Yes, I'll come on down. How's it going?
Well, it's going very well, Edward, except you know that Daddy said I'm never to see you again, don't you?
Even though he died several years earlier.
I was never to see you again, don't you?
Really?
Yes.
That's the first time you've told me that.
Well, I was keeping it a secret until I was old enough to be married, but now I am old enough to be married. I'm 16 tomorrow, Edward. I want you to be my husband, but I can never see you again.
Edward held her in his arms. He looked deep into her eyes. The love between them was a pure love, a sweet love, a love between simple folk.
But I love you.
I know you love me, Edward.
I love you more than anything in the world.
But I have to go. Or you have to leave the Masterson land. We cannot be together.
Oh, well then, if that's what you want, I'll go.
Don't put up much of a fight, do you, Edward?
So we leave them. We leave them discussing their future down below ground. Back At Jane's house, where she lives, her mother is there, baking bread.
Oh, I wonder how our Jane's got in on down to mine. That poor girl, she's so beautiful. She's so lovely. She shouldn't be getting all dirty and messy down there. Who can that be?
And in strode Stephen, the Masterson's gamekeeper, a surly fellow with a bushy moustache, and he wasn't afraid to use it.
Stephen, come in.
Aye. What can I do for you, young missy?
Well, I've got some dust in the corner there. I want your moustache to sweep it up.
Aye, I don't mind if I do.
I've baked some bread for you, Stephen.
Aye, I'm right hungry. I've been trapping whippets in my underpants all night.
I bet. Well, there you are. Wholemeal bread.
Oh, lovely. I'll take a great big bite out of it, I think.
Our Jane's down, Pitt.
Aye.
She'll be 16 tomorrow. A lovely lass.
16 and she's down the pit?
Aye, working hard since Dad died. Edward's probably down there too.
She wanted Stephen to marry her daughter, for thereby she could get a secure income from the Masterson lands. But no, Jane loved Edward. But Anne had an idea. An idea that she may be able to make Stephen marry Jane.
There's one thing my daughter loves.
Aye, I know.
One, no. Apart from that, but you're on the right track. It is pink and wobbly.
Oh, it's not blancmange, then.
It is.
By God.
But of course, blancmange is only made at Masterson Hall. The Mastersons are allowed to eat blancmange because it's posh food.
Aye, and only the Mastersons have the secret blancmange recipe.
King George III had given the Mastersons the monopoly on blancmange in 1767.
Damn George III, I ate his guts. Why don't you go and steal the ingredients of the blancmange and then make Jane a blancmange that will outdo any other blancmange in the world.
Yes.
And she'll be yours forever.
Well, as far as I understand it, there's two main ingredients. There's blah and monge.
Well, you go and get them, Stephen. Go now.
Aye, I'll fly like the wind.
All right.
And so he did. He went off to try and steal the secret of the blancmange. Back at the mine, it was time for Edward and Jane's farewell.
Thanks for me sandwiches, then.
I'll miss thee, Edward.
I'll miss you too.
Will you travel far and wide?
I will. That's my lunchbox I'm holding in my hand, you know.
Fantastic mime skills. You're wasted on the radio, Edward. So, away thee. Will thou take thou faithful horse?
Aye, I will. Neddy!
What's he doing down the mine, Edward?
He came down on the rope.
He's gifted.
Oh, he's a clever horse, our Neddy.
He is.
He's going to help me make my fortune.
I shall miss you, Edward.
I'll miss you too.
And I shall miss him. I don't know who to kiss goodbye first.
You can go first, Neddy.
Goodbye, Neddy and Edward.
Yes?
Farewell.
Farewell.
You're right, won't you?
If I manage to learn, yes.
Grand. Goodbye, my love.
Goodbye.
And so he climbed the ladder. He and his horse climbing the ladder out of the mine. And she watched them go. And as she watched them go, she cursed. She cursed the fact that she was a Johnson and not a Masterson. For the Mastersons could marry who they wished, but the Johnsons could not. But all was not well at Masterson Hall. No. All was not well. Oh, in a rain-soaked churchyard, a funeral was taking place. The coffin, borne aloft.
Stay in the box, you bugger!
Nail it down.
There were no tears shed, for this was David Masterson, the Lord of Masterson Hall. A cruel man, a man with no thought for his tenants or the people.
Shut up! We didn't like him, remember?
There was only one true mourner at this funeral, and he was not so sad. Christopher, the heir to Masterson Hall, and now Lord Masterson. He watched his father's coffin being lowered into the ground and spoke his final words to him.
It's mine now, all of it. You never wanted me to have it, but I'm going to have it. Oh, yes.
Back at Masterson Hall, there were drinks and a buffet for the funeral. Christopher was there, and so was Rose, a young lady that Christopher was hoping to have his way with.
Ah, Rose, isn't it?
Hello, Christopher. I thought it was a very lovely funeral.
Yes, I thought it was splendid. Let's just hope he stays down then.
That's what I used to say to him. Another drink, Christopher?
Yes, why not? Some champagne. We should celebrate. All this is mine now, of course. I'll need a... I do apologise. It's been so long. I'll need the company of a good woman.
A good woman? Why, Christopher, are you proposing?
No, I was thinking I need the company of a good woman. Until I find one.
He slipped his hand round her waist.
Oh.
Her waist.
Sorry, it has been a long time. Rose, can't you see what I'm saying? You're an attractive woman.
Oh.
I'm a young, powerful, rich, handsome man.
Oh, yes, okay.
I have a bottle of champagne chilling in my room.
Back at Jane's cottage, she walked in to see her mother still kneading the bread. She told her mother that Edward had left and how upset she was.
Oh, Mother. Mother, terrible news.
What, Jane, what?
Edward is finally gone.
Oh, what a shame.
Mother, how can you laugh at a time of distress like this?
Edward's not right for you, Jane. Can't you understand that?
What do you mean, Mother?
You're stuck down that pit all your days. What about Stephen?
Oh, don't talk to me about Stephen.
But he's a good lad.
Have you seen the moustache on him?
That could come in useful, you never know.
I see you thinking, Mother.
Yes.
I'm going to leave this house, Mother.
What?
I'm going to leave this house unless you let me marry Edward. I love him. I shall never marry Stephen, the oaf, the hideous creature.
How long is this Edward away for?
He's gone to make his fortune and to learn to read and write. It could be years.
All right, then. Unless you find someone else in the meantime, you can marry Edward. But I want you to take this bread to Stephen over at Masterson Hall.
Oh, don't make me go to see Stephen.
Go, turn, child! Go now, else you'll feel my wrath.
I'll go.
At Dover, young Edward had found passage with a friendly captain called Jake.
What word are you going to teach me today?
The word today is squirrel.
Squirrel?
Come back and see me tomorrow, and I'll give you another word.
Very well. Will I have to do that thing again?
Yes, please.
Jake told Edward of the turbulent times in France, for he was a well-learned man. But he gave him some warnings about what to do and what not to do in the new revolutionary environment that existed there.
Tell me about it. What should I do in the new revolutionary environment?
Don't stick your head into any holes.
So Edward made his way to France. Back at Masterson Hall, in his bedroom, Christopher was being charming toward Rose.
Oh, some Masterson blancmange. Yes. Yes, please, Christopher, lovely.
A special batch that I just made.
Oh, strawberry. Could I have the blancmange now?
Yes. Ah, let me just whip up a new batch.
This is wonderful. How many girls have you given blancmange to, Christopher?
486.
Come, don't lie. Am I the first?
Hang on, I'm figuring out which to do first. Ah, yes. Of course you're the first, Rose. I've never smeared anybody's body in strawberry blancmange before.
A And are you sure there's no one else you love? Only me?
Only you, Rose. You can trust me, can't you?
Oh, what a lovely mould.
And so we leave the lovers with the blancmange between them and go back to Jane, who is taking the loaf of bread to Stephen, he of the bristling moustache. She is wary, for he is a cunning man and a strong man. She knocks on his door and walks into his hut.
Come in.
As soon as he lays eyes on her, his blood is filled with lust.
Course.
I've bought your bread, Mother Baked.
I can see that from here. Put it on the table. Let's have a look.
Don't look at me with that passion in your eyes. Unhand me!
I can't resist you. There's something about you that makes me think of wildlife.
What do you mean?
There's a whiff of badger about you. I don't know. You've not been using my shaving brush, have you?
No, and neither have you, and that's why I can never love you. Take off that moustache and then look me in the eye.
I'm not a contortionist, you know. I can't take this moustache. It's my moustache. Every one of these bristles is mine. I've earned every one of them here to my upper lip.
It was then that Stephen went to the cupboard. He went to the cupboard and got out something that he was sure would win her heart. Yes. He'd managed to sneak a little bit of Masterson blancmange away from the hall.
Have a look at that.
It's magnificent.
It is, isn't it? You can see your face in it on a good day.
Where did you get that?
I nicked it.
Why?
Because I'm a power-crazed individual. Why should the Mastersons have all the blancmange in the world? Hey, that's not fair, that's not right.
Oh, this is all very well, but I know the truth. My mother told you that if you bought me the recipe for blancmange, then I would be yours. But no. No. I can't and I shan't and I won't, for I love Edward.
And she ran, slamming the door behind her.
But come back.
It was to no avail, the door had shut. We travel to France, where Edward has landed, and he's made his way to Paris. Ah, a teeming metropolis, but one in turmoil.
Excuse me, I wouldn't put your head in there.
Yeah. It was no good. But eventually he met a very kindly gentleman, a very strange gentleman with half-moon spectacles, who took him back to his lodgings and treated him kindly to a cup of chocolate.
Would you like a cup of chocolate? I have some over here in the cup.
That would be lovely.
It was then that Françoise, for that was the kindly French gentleman's name, noticed that Edward's clothes were all wet and dripping.
Your clothes? They're all wet and dripping.
I told you. And he asked Edward if he'd like to take them off, because he had a very special way of drying them.
Would you like to take them off?
What are you trying to suggest?
I'm suggesting you take your clothes off. Because they are wet.
Oh, that's all right, then.
I can have them dry in an instant.
Why, thank you.
So Edward took his clothes off. And watch the gentleman as he put his clothes in a hole. Edward was worried.
Don't put them in that hole! A man told me never to put... Oh, no, that was my head. It's all right.
I put him in this hole. Now... Watch what happens.
That's incredible. They're going round and round.
That's right. And faster, and faster, and faster. Et voila! Completely dry.
That's incredible.
Indeed, clothes were dry. But Edward did not put them on, for Françoise had laid a hand on his shoulder. The way a man...
Françoise, what are you doing?
I'm laying a hand on your shoulder. You poor little wet Englishman.
Your eyes! They're so blue!
Yes, they're blue for you. Normally they're green.
see you as they went blue. You're a very attractive man, Edouard.
What are you doing to me? I feel strange feeling.
Yes, me too. Let me get the lights. There, I stand before you naked.
Francois!
Was all he could manage. So, we leave Edward, initiated into the joys of France, and travel back to England. England, where Jane is standing looking at Masterson Hall, looking at this building, this symbol of a family that had dominated her life as it had dominated everyone's life in these parts. And as she looked, a horseman came by. It was Christopher.
Whoa!
Who had trouble stopping his horse sometimes.
What are you doing? This is Masterson Land. You're going to be here on Masterson Land looking at Masterson House. What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know I wasn't allowed here. I was just gazing up at the hall.
You see, I know everyone round here.
Why? Who are you?
Christopher Masterson.
Oh!
She exclaimed.
No need to shout. You frighten the horse.
I've heard about you.
Have you?
Yes. You lure young girls up to your bedroom with your stories of blancmange.
Yes. I know some very good blancmange stories.
Come down from his horse.
I'll get down from my horse.
And he advanced on her, a strange and menacing look in his masterful eye.
Don't look at me like that, you're frightening the pants off me.
Yeah, that's the plan. And it's worked, I see. I've got a little container of blancmange here.
Christopher forced the blancmange upon her. Forced her the only way an aristocrat can. No,
oh, no.
Thought of her feelings.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no.
It was too late. Once a Masterson had made up his mind, that was it. But watching this sorry scene, this distressing scene, was Stephen. This may be his master. This may be the man who paid his wages. This may be the man who owned everything he had. But he was going to be revenged on him.
Ah, you scamp! Strong language, Stephen.
Sir, I see you have your trusty sword by your side.
Yes, I do.
Well,
yes,
I do have my trusty sword. And I also have a door that opens and closes at will. Yes!
Damn, damn you! Damn you! Let me in!
And if, okay, take that!
And they're bald, and they're bald, and they're bald!
Wait!
A glass of champagne!
Of course!
Now, take that!
Meanwhile...
Wait! Who's that coming through the door? It's nobody! Now, carry on!
Meanwhile... On a ship... On a ship, travelling in the opposite direction, is young Edward. Dry, and with the plans for a new machine. A new machine that he hoped would make his fortune back in England. He travelled back, of course, with kindly Captain Jake.
You've come back a different man.
I have, and look what you brought with me.
By God, an ostrich on a motorbike.
Yes, how did that get in my bag?
I don't know. Don't let customs see that. You'll pay duty on that one.
No, underneath it, look.
By God, a lampshade made out of orange peel.
How did that get in
there? I don't know.
Look, there's something strange going on here.
Aye. Hang on, I heard somebody at the door.
Go away.
No, it's this. I shall call it the tumble dryer.
But you mean you can dry tumble in that?
Aye.
By God, you're going to make a fortune.
I shall become rich, and I shall live with my true love, Jane.
But Edward needed backing for his scheme in the new business world. In the new business world that was emerging, the mercantilist world indeed, he needed someone with a few savings Jake had a thought.
Have you thought of the Enterprise allowance scheme?
You're a genius!
Aye. That's why I am the mod I am today. A sad, lonely, desperate figure, travelling endlessly between here and France without ever getting off the boat.
Back in the forest, back in the woods of Masterson, only one man was still standing.
You killed him?
Aye, I did. And I'll do it again tomorrow. Only I don't have to because I've done it now. He's dead.
And so now what?
Thy God, woman.
What?
I'd like to show you where the otters play.
Do you know, Stephen?
It's in my trousers every Friday night.
Stephen! I thought I could never love you, but... But since you've killed Christopher and saved my virtue...
Really?
Yeah, since you've saved my virtue. Now I look into your eyes, I gaze on your long, hairy moustache. And you know... I feel something in my heart for you, Stephen.
Yeah, it'll be bile.
I think I could love you, Stephen.
Aye, I could love you and all.
Stephen.
What?
Will you take me as your wife?
Aye, I will that.
Kiss me, Stephen.
And as they kissed, along came Anne and saw the tender scene. She saw her daughter in the arms of Stephen and she was happy. And she took Jane home. She told her something that she thought she never would tell her.
You, Jane, are a Masterson. I'll kill that Roddy trumpet player.
I'm a Masterson.
Yes.
What do you mean, Mother?
One day, the young master was riding in the forest, and he, too, force-fed Blancmange to me.
Oh, no.
Though I didn't have no one called Stephen to protect me, and, well, what happened, happened. And then you were born. 9 months later. A bonny little girl, but I couldn't tell Lord Masterson about it. He would have sent me off the land.
Oh, Mother!
So, I want you to go to that hall with Stephen.
Oh, Mother, yes.
And claim your rightful place.
Yes, Mother, I shall.
But then... There was a plaintive knock at the door. There stood Edward, his tumble dryer in his hand, his face full of hope, his sweet features.
Jane! I've come home. Look what I've brought with me.
But she had sorry
an
news
for... An
ostrich
on a motorbike.
How did that get there?
She had sorry news for him. Sorry news indeed.
I can't marry you. I'm to be married to Stephen.
Oh no!
Oh, don't make that face, Edward. It's horrid.
I brought this. It's a tumble dryer. It's going to make us rich. It's a...
But he knew the truth. He knew the truth by the look in her eyes, and proudly, not without a tear, she walked out the door with her mother. No longer a Johnson, but a Masterson.
Come, child.
Hi, Mother. Goodbye, Edward.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, tumble dryer.
Well, here we are. Just you and me, tumble dryer.
Not everyone wins. Not everyone wins. In fact, many people lose when it comes to the Masterson inheritance. In The Masterson Inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music, and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Wilfred Acosta, and Colin Guthrie. The producer was Phil Clark.